Seated in the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the prophecy of Micah chapter 6 and the 8th verse. The prophecy of Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The prophecy of Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Micah was a young contemporary in the days of Isaiah, and of Amos, and of Hosea, in the 8th century, prior to the coming of Christ. And the Lord was to wonderfully use him as God's messenger, just as he did those other gracious men. But he was very strong in the great need of the righteousness of Christ, and the great need of it. And he was very strong too in the great need of having a real religion. And he was greatly strong and greatly encouraged the people to turn from all their idols and sin. He looked at Jerusalem and the cities around and saw the idolatry and the wickedness that was prevailing, and warn them solemnly against it. But here he speaks the words of Balaam, which he spake to Barak the king. And what wonderful words they are. The Lord seemed to drop these in last evening powerfully into my soul. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. Could it be said of you and of me that is so concerning us? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. Because this is what the Lord will do to each of his dear children. Now there are two things. Firstly, he has shown the poor sinner what is evil, and then he has shown them what is good. He has shown the poor sinner the evil there is in their own heart. And you know, really, we don't need to go any further than that. We hear so much of the evil that's going on in the world, don't we? And that grieves us, and it grieves every child of God, or should do. But look at the evil in our own hearts. The more we know, you know, of our own heart, the more we shall know what evil there is in us. And unless the Lord shows us our own heart, we shall never know what evil there is in us. It's easy to look at other people and say, well, this is evil in them and the evil there is in the world. But You know, the Lord will bring each one of his dear children to book to examine themselves. And this is what the dear servant of God, Micah, is so setting before us under the Holy Spirit today. He hath showed thee. Now has he shown us what is good? You show the sinner, as I have indicated, the sin and wickedness and vileness there is in us, but you show them where to look for deliverance from those sins, from deliverance from that evil. And it's all to be found in the dear Redeemer, because all the goodness the child of God needs are be found in a precious Jesus. And you know, when you look in the case of Balak, you will find there was so much evil in Moab, like Ruth experienced it when the Lord brought her out. But oh, what a mercy if he shows us what is good. And we need to, for us to see what is good, we need the eye of faith. Why is it that the world and the ungodly and the professor of religion cannot see any good in God's holy word? They may look at it and say, well, you know, it reads nicely, it's a good book in that sense. Many professors of religion do. But when it comes to the real vital experience, they don't know anything of what's good at all. Which is exceedingly solemn. The reason they don't know is because they've not got the eye of faith to view it. And this was very searching and solemn to me when it came home, this text last evening. He hath showed thee. And I'll tell you what effect it will have if he's shown you, poor soul, what is good. It'll humble your poor heart and melt you in the dust. Lord, why hast thou shown me when thou hast passed by so many? What is good? You know, the dear man that fell among the thieves. He was left half dead and in a very sad and solemn state, wasn't he? What happened? The priest, the Levite, they passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And he did everything that that dear man that fell among thieves needed. And that dear man, you could see in that good Samaritan all that was good. And this is what a poor, trembling, weak, vile sinner will see in a precious Jesus. In him is all they need for time and for eternity. And what he speaks to them is good, isn't it? And you know, when you read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit shines on the sacred page, you'll be able to say, Lord, it's good to me. Why? Because it meets your very soul's need, your very case. He hath showed thee. It's personal, you see. This is what come home very searchingly and solemnly to me. He hath showed thee, not somebody else. And you'll be melted and humbled in the dust. The Lord has shown thee personally, poor soul, what is good. That what the Lord does is good. You can go back to creation. And you can see what the Lord recorded there and all what the Lord did in those 7 days when he formed the universe. He saw each day that it was good. Why? Because it came from a good God. And it came from the good hands of God. You know, when we look at the mountains, the valleys, the plains, the wonderful scenery in the earth, do you not see the Lord is good in it? What did... Or do we read in the word of God, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Dear Nahum knew it, the Lord is good. It may be you can be in the depths of trouble or the depths of affliction. And the Lord so sanctify those troubles, those afflictions, that you can say in it all, and Job knew what it was to be able to say it from time to time, the Lord is good. He has shown thee. And in the case of Job, you know, all what he had to go through, all the losses, all the crosses, all the disappointments, he could truly say, he hath shown me. He hath showed me what is good. And all the goodness that Job viewed came from his God. Oh, it did. And what the Lord had done in his heart was good. I love that word. And oh, the Lord's servant quoted it on Thursday. Concerning that little lad, there was some good thing in his heart toward the Lord God of Israel. Have you got some good thing in your heart toward the Lord God of Israel? The desires to know him, the desire to seek him, the desire to cast all your burden upon him. They're good desires, you know. They're not the desires of the world or the ungodly. He has showed thee, oh man, what is good. There may be one here cast down this morning. They say, well, I look at my lot, I look at my pathway, and it just causes me so much sorrow. But has he not shown you a little what is good in it all? It's a wonderful thing, you know, when we can see in it the good hand of God. He hath showed them. Now, how does the Lord show his people? He shows them by revealing it to them by the Holy Spirit, what is good. The Holy Spirit will reveal the vital things of God. He will reveal to the poor sinner their sin and wretchedness, and he'll reveal to them the great need of a precious Jesus, his precious blood, his glorious merits. He has showed them, oh man, what is good. And here there were those in Micah's day that the Lord had shown these things to them. He'd shown them the way to heaven was a good way. All other paths do lead to death. And he'd shown them, the Lord had, what was good in the Saviour and what was good in their God. And there was a good way to heaven, though it be rough and difficult. He hath showed thee. There's a wonderful certainty here, and maybe one poor soul has come up this morning, Lord, do grant me some sweet token. Well, may the Holy Spirit so apply this to you and reveal it to you. He hath showed thee, oh man, what is good. You know, when the Lord brought the children out, Israel out of Egypt, he showed them that all the goodness naturally there was in Egypt, and there was much. It was a prosperous land they had to come out from. But he showed them that death was stamped on it all. And this is why he brought them out. And he showed them there was a good way. It was going to be difficult. It was going to be hard. It was going to be rough. But it was going to have a good outcome. Canaan's happy shore. And he set that before them, you know. The trouble was, and it is the trouble with us if we're honest, we don't keep the land in view, do we? If they could have only kept that land in view, they'd have been able to say it's a good way in which the Lord is leading us. But the trouble was they didn't, did they? They looked at all the troubles, and we're the same, if we're honest. We look at all the troubles, the afflictions, the distresses, the difficulty through the wilderness they got to go through, and they were soon sinking, weren't they? When they should keep the land in view. I remember your late beloved pastor preaching from that beautiful word, "Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids straight before thee." And he said, beloved friends, we don't, do we? We have our eyes looking right on. We're looking at this, we're looking at that, and we're looking at something else instead of looking right on. Really, and I quote his own words, he said, you know, what it is a long view. And the Lord, you see, gave the Moses, when he brought the children of Israel, that long view of Canaan's happy land. But they didn't keep it in view, did they? And they were soon sinking. And so often we're like that, aren't we? He has showed them, and he showed them that was the way they got to walk. It's a wonderful thing, you know, the Lord does show his dear people the way sometimes they've got to walk. Well, he said, didn't he, it's through much tribulation you must enter the kingdom. It's going through it, you see. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and all the goodness there is in the dear Redeemer. We tried to preach it stone on Wednesday from that beautiful word in the Psalm 37, the steps of a good man. And I tried in the afternoon to trace out what that good man was. Nothing in themselves, everything in the dear Redeemer. And all the goodness they needed was in him. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And it seemed so sweet to me when the Lord dropped the text in. It's all ordered, you see. Nothing comes by chance. He hath showed thee. And I'll tell you what, poor self, the Lord has applies that to you this morning, he'd knock out all the pride out of you and the self-justification and self-righteousness as he shows you what is good. Because there's no good in us. There's no good in the creature. What did the apostle say? Oh, wretched man that I am. What did Job say? Behold, I am vile. David knew his own heart well, and he could truly mourn and weep over the sin there was within him, but he knew where to look in it all, didn't he? Look to Jesus. Mercy flows through his precious blood. He hath showed thee. It's personal, you say. And may the Lord show us each his way, His will and show us what is good in the dear Redeemer. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can reveal it. This is why it is so vital what the old preachers used to say, to have a Holy Ghost religion. Because he reveals the vital things of God. If we know nothing of the sweet dealings of the Holy Spirit, we shall never get to heaven. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. In other words, forsaking of all sin, forsaking of everything of self, forsaking of all the things of this world. You know, it's a wonderful lesson which is declared in the case of the dear disciples. You can look at it in concerning the fishermen. When Jesus said to them, follow me, what did they do? They left all and they followed him. And why did they leave it all? Because everything they were in was perishing. They got to leave it all, and everything they needed in the dear Redeemer would stand them in good stead for time and for eternity. They left all and followed him. And the Lord showed them that was the way, you see. Forsaking all sin and cleaving to a precious Jesus. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And then we have this very searching word. And what doth the Lord require of thee? Very searching that, isn't it? What doth he require of thee? How would you answer it? How would I? You know, when the Lord took the children of Israel out of Egypt, and we read in the Book of Deuteronomy, I hope to read it this afternoon, a very parallel word to this. He says this, and now, not tomorrow or next week or sometime in the future, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him and to serve him, than to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And this is what the Lord required of them as they left Egypt and went into that wilderness. It was required of them. You know, when I woke this morning, there was a searching word, I think it's in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. It seemed to drop in powerfully. And it was this. It is required of stewards, of servants, you say, to be faithful before God. And this is what the Lord was setting forth in this text and in what was recorded in Deuteronomy. What doth the Lord require of thee? He requires his people to be faithful. Oh, he does. And it's really declared in the first clause of these things that he has set before us, but to do justly. That is to walk honestly, tenderly before the Lord, and faithfully, you see. It's required of servants or stewards to be faithful. Faithful to the Lord and faithful to his word, faithful to his house and faithful to his ways and his precepts. What doth the Lord require of them? You see, we're answerable to the Lord for everything. And when this text dropped in, what doth the Lord require of thee? To be faithful, you see, before the Lord. Not to deviate in any way from the truth, or to compromise, or to try and water anything down, or do it to suit ourselves. It's faithful to the Lord. Why? Because... Well, and that's why we read in Paul's letter to the Corinthians in chapter 13. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Self-examination. God requires it. There's so many times throughout God's word, he exhorts his people to examine themselves, to consider their own standing before a holy God. Because we're answerable, you see, to him in all things. Oh, we are. And thinking of this, what he requires, we read in, I believe it's either in Ecclesiastes or in Proverbs. I think it's in Ecclesiastes where it says, but God requireth that which is past. Now you think of that today. He requireth that which is past. The day of judgment will come when we shall have to give an account of the deeds done in our bodies, whether they be good or bad. Everything we're accountable for. Oh, we are. And he says, what doth the Lord require of thee? He requires that which is past. Some of you may think, oh, well, you know, I don't want to think back to that, but he requires that which is past. The word of God makes that very clear. But God requires that which is past. You have to answer for it, and so shall I. Even those things that are past. And how do we stand before a holy God? What doth the Lord require of them? But to do justly. To do justly. Honest, you see, before the Lord. One of the meanings of justly is to act honestly. To be honest before God. It's like I've told you before, the dear man when he prayed and Mr. Gadsby asked him to pray at the prayer meeting, and eventually after he asked him twice to pray, he got up and he said, Lord, thou knowest I would pray if I could, and sat down. And dear Mr. Gadsby said, firstly, it came out of his heart, and secondly, he was honest before the Lord. And you know, one of the first things, once the Lord begins to work in his dear people, he'll make them honest. They are accountable before God. Oh, yes. To do justly. And oh, that we might ever do those things. And another meaning of this justly is do that which is right in the sight of God. Not in our own eyes. It's so easy for us to look and think, oh, they'll do this, this looks right in our eyes. But is it right in the sight of God? How does it stand in the light of Holy Scripture and in the light of the Lord? You know, in so many things, especially of late, I come to this. What would the Lord Jesus do in the matter? You think of it. You may come into a situation, you may say, what shall I do in it? What would he do? Take it if you're opposed by the world or by the ungodly or even the Lord's people left to themselves. What would he have done? Well, I'll tell you. He'd give the other cheek. If he smite one cheek, give him the other. And we need a lot of grace to do that, don't we? That is to do justly. You think of the dear Saviour. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not. The natural man and our old nature, it begins to threaten immediately, doesn't it? Threats will never get us to heaven. It's mercy that'll get us to heaven. Compassionate the Saviour was, you see. You see how he dealt justly, even with the Pharisees. He dealt with them rightly. He dealt with them very straight and to the point to do justly. And this is what the Lord requires, you see. It's not what I've said. Don't go home and think, well, you know, the pastor said, oh, this is what we've got to do. It's what the Lord has said. This is the whole point of the matter. What doth the Lord require of thee? You think in dealing with the world, he requires of us to do justly. Dealing with the Lord's people, he requires us to do justly. And that means cleaving to the truth. You know, when I've been to, and I thought about it this morning, I've been to a few inquests where there have been those that have been suddenly taken from time into eternity and the law of the land requires an inquest. And I've had to go as a witness and, you know, one of the things that you have to do and you do in the courts of the law, you have to swear over the word of God that what you say is truth and nothing but the truth. And this is what it means in this text, you see, to do justly. Speak the truth and nothing but the truth. And the Lord's the witness, you see. Oh, he is. And when this text came, it took me back immediately to what you have to say in the court of law. Swear by the truth. Stand by the truth, you see. And what did Jesus say? And the truth shall make you free. Oh, it will. There's a wonderful liberty through the truth, you see. And who is the truth? The Lord Jesus himself. He says, I am the way, the truth and the life. And his dear people will cleave to the truth. And all they want is truth. And nothing but the truth will do them good. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good to, and what doth the Lord require of thee. It's not requiring of somebody else. You can easily look at somebody else, oh, he requires this of them and somebody else he requires. But it's thee, you see. And I preach this to myself because it is so vital. What does he require of thee? And he requires that we serve him day and night. Not just when we think we will. As I read in Deuteronomy. With all thy heart. Not some of it. And with all thy soul. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. The old preachers used to say, the Lord will have all the sinner's heart or nothing. That comes home ever so close, doesn't it? Is he the one thing needful to you, poor soul, this morning? The dear Redeemer. Because if he is, you'll want to serve him with reverence and godly fear. And then he requires, and I want to look at this in a few ways, what he requires. He requires his dear children to be obedient to him, not to man. I think of that beautiful word, be ye as obedient children. He requires his dear children to be obedient to what he tells them. If he says to you, pray without ceasing, poor soul, you do exactly that, nothing else. If he says to you, cease from sin, seek for grace to do it. Be obedient to him, to the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing that the Lord has said it, hasn't he? They that honour me, I will honour. And those that are obedient to him, he will honour them. Oh, he will. They that honour me, I will honour. And let me use an illustration. I hadn't thought of this, but it comes. You think of dear Samuel, that little lad. When the Lord spoke to him, and what did he speak to him? Of the solemn things he would do to Eli's sons and Eli's house. And what did Samuel do? It was a most solemn message he had to take to the servant of God. And he was obedient and he took it. And he declared it all, didn't he? To Eli. Of what would become of his household. And you think how solemn it was. He was obedient. Now are we obedient to the Lord, what he's commanded us? If he says to you, poor soul, follow me, you do it. Be obedient to him. And don't forget what I've said. They that honour me, I will honour. Be obedient to exactly what he says. If he says to you, watch and pray, you be obedient to him. Do what he tells you. What does the hymn writer say? Listen to what the Saviour saith and seek for grace to follow that. Are we listening to what the Saviour says? And then he may say to you, continue thou in the things thou hast learned and have heard of me, like he did to Timothy. And the Lord gave Timothy grace to continue in that narrow way and the things he'd learned from the apostle and learned from the Lord. And he was to continue in it. And think of the commandments of the Lord. Oh, to do those and seek for grace to do the commandments of the Lord. Whatever he may command you. All that I command thee this day thou shalt observe to do. Now that's what the Lord has said to his dear people of old, the children of Israel. Whatsoever I've said unto thee, do it. Think of the dear woman the mother of Christ that said to the servants in that marriage at Cana of Galilee when they had no wine. She was the messenger of heaven. And what did she say to those? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Be obedient to him, you see. And you know, in doing it, there was wonderful profit, wasn't there? They'd never tasted the wine like it before. What the Saviour had given. He hath showed thee, and I must leave it. Oh man, what is good? And what doth the Lord require of thee? Not what man requires of thee. You may demand this of somebody or something else from somebody. It's what the Lord requires of thee. This is the vital point. But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now that's what he requires. And it's not what I've said. It's what the Lord has said. And may the Lord give us grace to walk it out in reverence and godly fear. Amen.